I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, it's Thursday night, so you know what that means. It's college football on the Chase Thomas podcast, where I am joined every single Thursday night by my good friend down there in Decatur, Georgia, fellow University of North Georgia alumni, Matt Green. Matt, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, sir. I feel like every week you say Decatur, Georgia. I feel like I'm putting them on the map right now. You know, yeah. Trying to do my best for Decatur.
Well, I'm in Knoxville. Shout out to Stone Mountain. Shout out to Asheville from a couple weeks back for the birthday weekend. We like to support places that we like, and hey, you know, Decatur, nice little place to raise a family in the suburbia of Gwinnett County. Are you on the, is that on the border of Barrow? Is that the one that's close?
We are pretty close to Barrow County, actually. Like, we could probably be like downtown Winder in like 10-15 minutes, honestly.
So I've been to downtown Winder once in my life, Matt Green.
When was it? Because that area low key is kind of on the way up. It's like a solid little downtown area.
I feel like they're doing that everywhere. Like, City of
yeah.
doing a bunch of reconstruction. Like, that's the new
That's thing. What me and Tori are banking on. It's like every little place has gotten like a cool down. Maybe they'll do that to Decatur and then our house can be worth more.
I mean, I think that's what they're gonna do. I mean, Loganville's doing that big time too.
Yeah, like Duluth, Lawrenceville. Yeah.
City of Lawrenceville. I mean, I love
So as long as these listeners are aware of Gwinnett County, they'll know what the hell we're talking about right now.
Well, we have a strong Georgia listenership, and I
That's
think
true.
Gwinnett County being the largest county in the state of Georgia, I would assume a lot of people are familiar with these areas. But I was in Winder when I was working at a lawn care company years ago, selling, you guessed it, lawn care. And we went to lunch in downtown Winder as like a staff. They were like, we have this spot. And I'd never been to downtown Winder before. And let me tell you, Matt, incredible food. It was like this local barbecue
spot.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Oh, dude, I wish I could give him a plug right now. It's got like a classic barbecue name, like a sticky Ray's barbecue, some kind of something.
You got to shout them out because it's actually really good. And I
it is. It's excellent.
But it. What is this place called? I'm going to look at it. Is it Smokin' Po? What is
Smokin' Po Boys? That's it.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. That place actually fire. So there is your free plug, Smoking Po' Boys.
Yeah. Did you ever go to the barbecue place by in Oakwood by UNG's campus? That's like the best barbecue I've ever had, honestly.
The local establishment of Gainesville.
No, it's a smokehouse. Like, I honestly, I only went there because they were renovating the Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
They're renovating Chick-fil-A is the only reason I tried it. And I like literally every time I ate lunch there for the rest of the time I was in school, I went to that barbecue place. That was the jam.
Was it good? You're talking about the place by the Chick-fil-A, right?
Yeah, it was like right across the street from Chick-fil-A. Yeah, that place was phenomenal.
Interesting. Yeah, I never went in there. I think whenever my mom and I were up there and whenever we would drive around, like they would look at it and there would always be like a line or the parking lot would be full and they're like, oh, we'll try it another time. That was like we'll try it another time place where not worth waiting. We're not sure. So we're just going to keep looking, but good to know. There's just a lot of good local barbecue spots in and around
for sure
that area. But I haven't really found. I know there's one called Dead End Barbecue in Knoxville that everyone loves. It's kind of new. Have not been able to try that. But there are a lot of good Italian spots up here. When you come up here at some point, Matt Green, Savelli's.
Oh yeah, Knoxville known for its Italian.
Yeah,
I was not aware.
It's a Knoxville delicacy, if you will.
Such a cultured city.
Yeah, it's a cultured city. People forget, Matt. People forget. That will do it for our Gwinnett County talk to kick off this episode of the podcast, Matt Green. But
we're not done with the barbecue talk though. That could come back up again.
What is your favorite barbecue platter? Let's do that as we wrap up here. What is your go-to at any barbecue spot?
I go with a pork sandwich, like pulled pork sandwich and
pulled or chopped.
Either way, I feel like whatever restaurants do stuff, it's usually pulled, right?
See, they do pulled, and I ask them to chop it up. Like it bothers me.
Oh yeah,
it's too messy. Pulled's too messy. It slides off. It's all erratic. If I'm doing pulled, I'm just getting a bun. But if I'm getting a bun. I want it chopped up.
A good barbecue place has got to have some good mac and cheese, though.
Yes.
I feel like that's always my side whenever I eat barbecue.
How many sides do you go with?
That's probably usually most places it's just like one side. I just get like a sandwich with mac and cheese. That's usually my go-to.
You got to do two sides. You got to do two. Matt.
What do you go with?
Mac and cheese one. Big mac and cheese guy. And then baked beans. I love me some baked beans. I'm a big beans and rice person. I like a good rice and bean combo.
Okay.
Wherever I can go. I'm very...
I feel you.
Yeah. Like a good burrito in rice and beans.
There is also a place in Flowery Branch also that had like the best mac and cheese ever. It was like... This like had like jalapenos in or something. It was like it was really good, something kind of different. But the barbecue wasn't actually that good, and it was kind of expensive. It's like you know, I like your mac and cheese, but the barbecue, that's the main event. You know, I can't come back if the actual barbecue isn't worth it.
What's the concession stand like at Tequila Falcons games?
I haven't been to one, man.
It was on Friday afternoons. What have you noticed about the
I did go to a high school basketball game though this year. My dad actually is an assistant at a team that played DeKuil. He's assistant at Lanier, and
Lanier coach, by the way, Corey Mobbs, friend of the program, took a Knoxville.
He's going to Knoxville. Yeah, I did see that. So yeah, my brother and my dad, my brother's assistant at Buford, my dad's at Lanier, they like played each other, but the DeKuil Lanier game, it was surprisingly hype environment, honestly. I was like, you know, I didn't really know what to expect, COVID and stuff, but it was a nice little atmosphere.
How was the family divided situation? Because you're a DeKuil super fan now and your dad coaching a rival high school, were you doused in the blue and gold, or did you wear that burnt orange?
I was, I'll be honest, I was repping the Longhorns that night. You know, my dad had like he basically had a program for me. I like sat right behind the bench. He's like, here you go. He's the heights and classes of every player on both teams, and like, appreciate it.
I did not know your dad was an assistant basketball coach.
He's actually, that's like the first time the first year he's ever actually been on a staff. Like he's just kind of. It's just always kind of been his hobby. He's just always loved high school basketball. But yeah, it's like actually a dude he coached. Like he coached AAU when my brother was growing up. But he actually coached Brandon Mayweather, Lanier's head coach, like when he was like 10, 12 years old. So now he's gone full circle.
Your dad just has like a full scouting report of Mike Mercer somewhere in his office.
Oh, without a doubt, man. My dad could tell you everything about Gwinnett County basketball for the, honestly, any whole state of Georgia basketball. He was, especially D3 once my brother started playing D3. That's his jam.
Yeah, he was like, Yao Jawu when he was at Parkview, that kid. Unguardable. Colgate got a steal.
We used to go see like Tony Akins, like Berkmar games. Like,
yes.
Back in the day, like. Also, fun fact, you saw, Eddie Martin just retired? Buford? Long time.
I did not see that.
Yeah, he just retired. And I didn't even know Eddie Martin had the Gwinnett County scoring record until Tony Akins broke it. So Eddie Martin was a baller at Central Gwinnett, apparently. I just read that today. Fun fact for you. If anyone on the, we're alienating our listeners now. Let's get to the college football talk.
I don't think so. This is part of our podcast. It's like the lead-in. It's the prelude to...
True that.
It's what we know, Matt. Who else do we get to talk about this kind of stuff with in our daily life? I'd never get to... There's never another opportunity, really, for me to talk about this kind of stuff because no one else was a dork like us and kept up with all this stuff and still keeps up with it, at least somewhat. And I'm literally looking at a Camden County Parkview and Brookwood helmet right in front of me right now. So, you know, it's still a... fun part of my life. Let's get into some college football news and notes before we get into the main event, which is college football playoff expansion coming, or is it not, per Mr. Hancock? But by all accounts, when he says it out loud, even if he's denying it, if it comes into the public sphere, that thing is happening. First thing I wanted to throw at you, Matt, Brett Bielema, friend of the program, Brett Bielema, angling to get Illinois versus Nebraska, which is a week zero game, because of where it was supposed to originally be played, will not be played overseas. It's in a weird spot. It will be its only game that week. He wants it in primetime, and he's trying to get College Game Day to partake in what should be a great atmosphere, because I think he's got a point. And let's just start off big, because guess what? Hot seat right away. Scott Frost losing to Bielema in his opener. Like, this is great because there's another news and note item that we're going to get to. But, yeah, what do you make about Bielema making the push? And do you want to see Illinois-Nebraska kick off College Game Day this fall?
I guess if it's week zero, what are even the other – what is the best other games that
weekend?
No,
there's nothing else. It's the whole thing. Like, there's nothing else. There's just nothing planned. Because
I mean, you might as well. You know, it's put a – so this is going to be at Illinois, is what you're saying?
I believe so, yes.
I mean, that's why they need a guy like Brett Bielema. I feel like he's a guy, you know, he's got some swagger, you know. He makes headlines, things like this, you know. I feel like he talks his team up, sells his program. I'm all for it. If there's no other games, might as well get out there for week zero. Although I'm not sure what to expect of Illinois or Nebraska this year, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Bielema doesn't matter. Like, he's walking in a situation. He's going to get some time. He's got ninth-year quarterback Brandon Peters under center. Their backup might be transitioning, I think, to wide receiver, if I read that correctly the other day. I'm fightingillini.com. They're recruiting. I think they just got a three-star running back, so it'll take some time. They got some talent in the backfield, but I'm not a big Brandon Peters guy, and I think it'll take some time getting that system transition. But, you know, we'll see. And Scott Frost is in do or die, and Bielema's just going to have fun. So, I don't know. I'm here for it. Our old friend, not to bring it back to high school football in the state of Georgia, Matt, but this became a national story this year because it involved Kirby and Saban and all that. But Rush Probst voted out as the head coach at Valdosta. Whew. What are you going to miss most about Rush Probst, Valdosta football coaching legend?
I mean, guys like Rush Probst don't just, like, disappear, though, right? Like, he's just going to resurface somewhere else. Is that right? I feel like Rush Probst, he's just – this guy's got football and is pumping through his veins, you know? I mean, he's just – I'm sure we're going to hear – a year from now, 2 years from now, that he's somewhere else. He's gone to some private school somewhere that's just trying to win football games, you know. Like, he's not, I mean, how old is he right now? What is he like? He's got to be 65, 70 years old.
I don't think he's that old. No, I don't think he's that old, actually. Let's see. He's 63.
Okay. 63? Okay. But it's like, Colquitt County, Hoover, Valdosta, like, dude wins football games. Like, that's why someone's gonna hire him again. Like, I know high school is like, it's a little different. You can't just be like, win at all costs, but it's like, you kind of can be. Like, there's some people out there that are just, he's gonna win enough games that they're gonna be interested in and winning some games, you know. I think that's, I don't think he's done. What do you think he's done?
Yes, I think he's gonna get blackballed. Like, the what, like, those two recruiting powers and just everything there, I think this is to the point now where no school board's gonna touch him. I don't think. No,
that's fair. And honestly, if Kirby Smart and Nick Saban have like a negative opinion of him right now, it's like, that's not a great thing for your football program. But I feel like there's someone somewhere is going to give him a shot, I think. But who knows? We'll see.
It couldn't hurt at Meadow Creek, right? Like, just who cares? Like, the schools were just like, oh, throw it out there. Burkmar. Burkmar would be amazing. I would love fresh ropes at Burkmar. The Carrier Dome now has air conditioning. Did you see this?
Yeah, I mean, were you aware that the Carrier Dome did not have air conditioning before this? I was like, what year is it right now? Like, how have they not have air conditioning until 2021?
Shout out to them. I like it. I guess because Syracuse, the state, is just cold all the time. Not necessary.
I have a buddy who's a huge Syracuse fan. So, you know, with all due respect, but
you have a huge buddy that's a huge. So let me preface this. Is he a huge Syracuse basketball fan or football fan, and or both?
I mean, he grew up a Syracuse basketball fan. Yes. You know, it's like, went to UGA, so he's a UGA football fan, but he holds on to the Syracuse thing, you know.
Did that not bother you growing up? We grew up in Atlanta and like the suburbs of Atlanta. All the people who are like UNC or Duke basketball fans, but were like Georgia football
fans.
Yeah,
but his family and stuff was from like upstate New York, so it's like, it made sense. You know, a lot of transplants down here. But so I was just gonna say, with all due respect to Syracuse, the Carrier Dome, I feel like, is like the most overrated stadium like in all of college sports. Like, they hype up the attendance at the basketball games and stuff all the time. It's like, well, yeah, you're in a football stadium. Like, you should have the most people at the game. Like, some of those seats from up top are fucking awful. Like, basketball from that far away is terrible. Like, you cannot be, like, that far away from a basketball court and be able to see anything happening. Like,
the grind your gear segment. I'm opening the floor to you. Go on. Continue, man.
No, that's all I gotta say. The Carrier Dome is just like, it's fine, but I feel like it always just got too much hype in basketball, and then it's like football, I guess they just haven't been relevant in 15, 20 years, so since Donovan McNabb left, basically. So,
wow.
Not trying to pile on Syracuse right now.
Wow. The Nebraska AD, bringing it back to Scott Frost, and I mean, this is just a diehard Nebraska podcast, Matt Green. You and the listeners know, we love talking Nebraska football and Adrian Martinez. Their AD said, quote, 8 to 9 wins is realistic for the team in 2021. This is it for Scott Frost, Matt Green. This is one of those where you see it, and it's like, remember the Lloyd Pierce thing before the season where he guaranteed the playoffs, and then the Hawks struggled, and it was like, oh no, we might not make the playoffs. Well, guess what? He's gone. I think that's part of what we're seeing here now, where it's like, he's not saying you're fired if we don't reach 8 to 9 wins, but if we don't win 8 to 9 games, you're fired, without saying it, right?
Well, I mean, he can't be on that hot of a seat. I mean, this is year 4, right? But with COVID, last year is, I feel like, just kind of a wash. But, I mean, he's got to be under pressure at some point, without a doubt. But this seems like a strange year for the AD to come out and say something like this, because there's years where you see Big Ten team schedules that, like, some years Wisconsin or Iowa, they essentially avoid, like, all of the good Big Ten teams in their regular season schedule. Like, no Penn State, no Michigan, no Ohio State some years. It's like, this Nebraska schedule, not only are they playing Oklahoma at a conference this year, but you have Northwestern, you have Michigan, you have Ohio State, you have Wisconsin at Wisconsin, and you have Iowa. Like, they're not bypassing any of the tougher Big Ten games. It seems like all the best big teams in the Big Ten next year are on Nebraska's schedule, minus maybe Penn State. but you just substitute that with Oklahoma, who might be the number one team in the country. Like, this is, if this team wins 9 games, I think it's a huge step forward. Like, maybe that's what the AD wanted to say. He better win 8 or 9 games this year. I don't know, but I feel like they could honestly win 7 or 8 games this year and it actually be an improvement, because it's one of the tougher schedules in the Big Ten.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a 4-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Everyone's experienced the pain of dropped calls and internet outages, especially working remotely this last year. So here's the question. If you're the telco company, how do you help create better experiences for customers? Simple. ServiceNow digital workflows can help solve network problems faster and provide real-time status updates so customers aren't left in the dark. That's probably why ServiceNow workflows have helped telco companies see an increase in customer satisfaction. But proactive customer communication's only half the battle. With a single view of your back, middle, and front office operations, ServiceNow workflows also eliminate silos, keeping teams more in sync and more productive. With our scalable services, companies assure a better experience for both customers and employees on a single platform, the Now Platform. So how do you help provide a better network experience for customers? With ServiceNow for telecommunications to help streamline network operations. Whatever your business is facing, let's workflow it. ServiceNow.
It's tough. I mean, opening at Illinois is gonna be sneaky tough. Like, I
didn't even include that one.
Buffalo,
yeah.
Dude, the amount of pressure, like, Lance Leopold's Buffalo squad is good. Like, Buffalo was legitimately a good football team last year. He didn't leave. Like, Buffalo is going to be feisty. Then you go to, like you said, Oklahoma.
That's a good point.
You go to Oklahoma. You go to Michigan State, who will be better than they were a year ago with a full offseason and Mel Tucker. Northwestern, good. Michigan should be better than a year ago. At Minnesota, who's getting Tanner Morgan back.
That's true. I didn't even count Minnesota either, and I kind of wrote them off. And it's like PJ Fleck. That's not an easy one either.
Ohio State, just pencil that in a loss. That's a loss. At Wisconsin, I'm okay with just circling that as a loss. Like, you already have 2 guaranteed. If you want 9 wins, you get one.
Oh,
more.
You didn't. Oklahoma. That's a guaranteed
Oklahoma,
loss.
Yeah, that's 3.
Like, so that's 9 and 3 is the best case scenario. I feel like in my opinion,
that's a unicorn scenario. 9 and 3 is just like everything came to, like, 9 and 3 is like Tom Osborne has risen and Nebraska is back.
Yeah, 9 and 3, they might be ranked 14th in the country or something. You know, like, that's a respectable 3 losses. Like, those could be to 2 of the top 5 teams in the country right there.
Yeah, that seems like a pipe dream though. Let's pump our brakes on that one. Losing Wandale Robinson to Kentucky is not going to help things.
I'd say if they miss a bowl game, then, you know,
I think
6-6 see
he's gone. I think best, like, if he I think 7-5 he keeps his job barely if he gets one respectable win, but like 6-6 or worse, he's out, I think.
Oh man, that's rough. 4 years, 3.5 years.
That fan base is demanding, man. Nebraska wants to be back. Also, how's Colorado still not on the schedule? Why are you closing with Iowa? Close with Colorado. What are we doing? What are we doing here?
Yeah, they can only bring one of the Big 12 North teams back at a time, I guess.
Yeah, not Oklahoma. What are you thinking with that scheduling? What are you doing? Not Oklahoma. Not Oklahoma. And also, Colorado, not a Big 12 school, sir. They are a Pac-12.
No, but it's the old Big 12 North. Yeah. Oh, shoot. I guess Oklahoma's Big 12 South. Yeah, you're right. I'm way off.
Dear God, it's not like you co-host a college football podcast every Thursday night on this very podcast, Matt Green.
Hey, I remember the days of Bobby Purify, all right?
Well, to be
going
fair,
off,
there is a conference. Like, I know the Big Ten stand. I know Big Ten, Pac-12, SEC, Big 12, whatever, if they ever do that. But I could not, like, there will never be a season, Matt. I've accepted that I will know who's in which side of the Coastal and Atlantic in the ACC. I will never know off the top of my head who's in what.
I agree with that. They just need to trash the whole thing.
Yeah.
One division. Because I know Clemson and North Carolina are in opposite divisions. I know that. because they've played each other. So anyone that Clemson has played, I know. So I guess Pittsburgh is definitely in the other one other than Clemson. I don't even know which one Clemson's in. They're in the Atlantic.
You're asking the right person.
Because I thought they were in the same one as Georgia Tech, but then I think I found out they weren't. I don't even know. We can look it up at another time. It's not important.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you flip Georgia? Like, who would you put Georgia Tech in the SEC for kicking out? Like, if you could flip and put Tech back in the SEC.
Well, the only one you'd put them in for would be Vanderbilt.
No, you got to keep Vandy for the idea that you still care about academics at all in this conference.
Oh, but you're replacing them with Tech? Dude, that'd be perfect.
That's true.
They're like a legitimate Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt,
like,
actually could. Like, you put Vanderbilt and Duke in the ACC. There you go. I like that.
Honestly, that really would. It would legitimize Tech.
They love SEC revenue, and they love being the...
Yeah, the second Georgia Tech became an SEC school, like, they, like, would immediately get four or five more four-star recruits a season.
Well, they might...
Right in the middle of Atlanta?
NIL is going to affect... I don't think we're going to see it immediately, but I do think the Atlanta kids... I do think NIL is going to help Georgia Tech more than other college football programs than we might expect. I think they're
that could be. Hey, I've had a hot take. This is a hot take from 2 years ago that Georgia Tech is going to be the next team not named Clemson to win the ACC. That's my hot take for
you. This podcast, I feel like.
I've said it for like 2 years. Mm. And the caveat is that Clemson's probably winning this thing for like the next like 8 years in a row at least. But if they just stick it out, I think Jeff Collins, he could be the guy for Tech.
I would bet on...
He's repping the ATL.
I would say Florida State. I think Norvell's building something there. I don't know.
Most would probably say, yeah, Miami, North Carolina, one of those.
I wouldn't bet on North Carolina. I don't know. There's just something about Mac Brown not winning it. I think they're a great program. What Mac's doing is pretty remarkable. I don't think so. How are you dealing with Caleb Tremblay flipping to the University of Tennessee, Matt Green?
Where did he flip from?
Georgia.
Caleb Tremblay? I was not aware of this. What class is he?
Irrelevant.
Is he, what is he, 2023?
Let's see.
Was he a... That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, so he was on the, like, he's a transfer from USC. Like, he's a USC defensive lineman. But Georgia was the favorite to get him.
Is that right? I have not heard anything about Georgia getting a senior. There's no way. Georgia's straight loaded on the defensive line.
No, you got Walker, but that's about it. And let me check that.
Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt. Georgia's defensive
under control before we start talking up Jordan Davis for the 19th year in a row. Let's.
You should put some respect on Jordan Davis's name, man. That dude, he might weigh a lot. That man.
Did you watch the spring game? He doesn't look like he's in playing shape yet.
Things like the spring game aren't. That's not where you're challenging your defensive tackles.
Like, you saw that man. Knoxville. Tennessee went the hardest they did all year. Harrison Bailey throwing bucket bombs.
I would venture to say Jordan Davis is the best defensive lineman in college football.
No, he's not even the best defensive lineman on your team.
How do you figure? Trayvon Walker?
Trayvon Walker is the best.
Trayvon Walker has showed the signs, but he hasn't actually put it together. Like, this should be... Trayvon Walker should be dominant, for sure, but I feel like he hasn't done it yet. Like, Jordan Davis has been dominant.
No, no, you gotta...
Since he was a freshman, too.
Give me Walker every time.
Oh, you're crazy.
Speaking of you're crazy, Matt, Kirby Smart on Feinbaum, when asked about whether or not Georgia and Florida would ever go to a home-and-home situation... he gave a really good answer and pointed out that the Bulldog, like, there's a huge alumni base in Jacksonville for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. I'm not even sure. What do they rename it that I won't refer to it as?
Oh, shoot. What do they? It's like the something on the river, like some guy, the St. John's River or something. I don't know. It's the cocktail party. Yeah, it always exactly. will be.
Not opposed all the way because, like, it is an opportunity to get more people on campus during the season and see the game up close and all that kind of stuff. But as someone who is adamantly opposed to all these neutral site games, like Tennessee and West Virginia just signed on for a 2028 game at Bank of America Stadium where it'll be 60% full and just no energy at all and just a non just a not interesting game whatsoever. It's just ridiculous, and it's all money, and it's all greed, and it's all silly, and it's just taking away a home game for one of these two schools, and it's just silly. Like,
it's in Charlotte, right?
Huh?
Is that one in Charlotte, West Virginia, Tennessee?
Yeah, it's just
I don't get it.
Home and home. I mean, I get it. It's money. Like, it's just more money. Like, the schools
just
are getting
two great college atmospheres in Knoxville and Morgantown.
Just do it there. Like, I don't understand. I mean, I understand, but I just don't like it. And it's a bad trajectory for college football. But Kirby, not bouncing around. But what would you, like, what if they split it up? Because, like, what I posited and what I think would be super cool is, like, I just want more rivalries in college football. I want them to be home and home. I want to keep as much as we can because that is what I love and that is what I tune in for every Saturday, is those kind of things that you can really sink your teeth into. And I wonder how I would feel about Georgia, Florida being at a neutral site if I didn't grow up watching it at a neutral site. But I think it's fine because both fan bases travel. Like, you have, like, Frat Beach or whatever, like, beforehand. It's, like, a whole event. Like, it is a thing where there is a strong atmosphere at that game. Like, there is a strong, strong turnout from both sides and everything. And that's the only way I'm okay with these neutral site games, is when it's actually, like, a real atmosphere. And it's rocking and it's a lot of boos, a lot of heavy appearances by both sides, and it's just something fun for the alumni and people who are in school and everything to travel and all that kind of stuff. So I'm okay with it. But would you be okay with, like, splitting it up? The reason I brought that up is just that, like, what if you did it every 4 years or every three, where you do home and home, then back to the Jacksonville game, then home and home and back to Jacksonville? Because that's what I want for Tennessee and Virginia Tech. Is I want Bristol, like, if you talk to anyone who went to that game, they all loved it. Like, even if the seats weren't great because it was at a NASCAR event, it was kind of awkward with seating.
It's like super far from the field.
But they loved the entry. Like, they loved hanging out. They loved going to the game. They loved the atmosphere. Like, Tennessee packed that place, and it's not that far, and it's a cool venue. Just do that. Like, do Bristol every 3 years, and then a home and home every 3 years, and then you have, like, a long-term rivalry of Virginia Tech and Tennessee. Why not do that?
Yeah, especially because I had no idea how close they were, like, until that game. They talked about, like, what, they're, like, 100 miles away from each other or something like that. Like, but, yeah, that was – they should definitely reignite that rivalry more. But in terms of Georgia-Florida, which is being called the River City Showdown now, by the way, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I've heard a lot of Georgia people talk about, like, it's a recruiting disadvantage because there's a lot of these, like, how the Notre Dame game, like, the atmosphere of just, like, being this nationally televised game, like, in Athens, it, like, did so much for Georgia and, like, the whole atmosphere and everything. Like, they talk about Alabama LSU, it's like the biggest recruiting event of the season every year, and, like, those schools get to hold that game on their campus. So I've heard that argument, but yeah, even though I'm against these, like, just random neutral site games like we've talked about, but, like, this is a tradition, like Oklahoma and Texas. It's like, I guess it's kind of tough because no one else can really start a new tradition. I think A&M and Arkansas played in Jerry World a couple times, right? But it's like, that could be cool potentially. But Georgia, Florida in Jacksonville, it's a whole atmosphere. Like, it's tough because people talk about, like, it's not a neutral site because it's in Florida. Like, Georgia has to fly to the game and Florida just takes a bus or something. But it's like, that's all true. But because some people have talked about, like, rotating it, like you said, like, play home and home and then do it in Jacksonville and then do it in Atlanta. But it's like, Atlanta means nothing to the Georgia-Florida rivalry. Like, Jacksonville is the city that has the tradition. So I would be, like you're saying, like, home and home, Jacksonville, home and home, Jacksonville. Like, I'd be cool with a rotation like that. But I'd honestly be cool just keeping Georgia-Florida in Jacksonville because it's one of the coolest traditions in college football. And also, like, we haven't seen a lot of history of Georgia and Florida both being good at the same time. Like, as good as this rivalry has been, I feel like it's been a more low-key rivalry because, like, Florida just dominated all throughout Spurrier's tenure in the 90s. And then Mark Richt, like, the first 10 years or so, it's like, they're better than Florida most of those years, but then they just keep losing. So like Florida just dominated for like a 20-year stretch there. But now you're seeing both teams. And then Georgia was good in that early 2010s when Florida had Muschamp and they were kind of going downhill. So you've seen very few years other than that 1 year in 2012 and then these past 2 years with Dan Mullen and Kirby Smart. Like this rivalry, I feel like you're finally seeing how special it is in the neutral site with both of these teams actually playing in top 10 games and in the East actually going through Jacksonville.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with whatever, and almost I don't have a hand in this, so I'm good with whatever Georgia and Florida fans are going with here.
I think one of the big beefs is too is that a lot of people just aren't impressed with the city of Jacksonville. Like it's just kind of like the landing was like the spot that was like on the river that like everyone would go there the night before the game, and there's like mad people watching it the game there, and it's like. I went there a few years ago and it's like a shitty rundown mall. Like that's like all it is. It's got like four. It's like if it's got like 20 places to be potential stores, there's like 8 actual stores in them. It's like there's like a whole bar area, but someone got shot there, I think, a couple years ago. It's like at like a video game tournament. It's like it's just it's not the spot it once was. I think is what a lot of people's view is. And also just like the amount of money that could be coming into those college towns if you're having that huge game actually in the home stadium.
Yeah, I don't know.
So not to ride the fence.
I need to go. That's like something I'm surprised growing up I never did was go to a Georgia Florida game.
Oh, got to, man. It was I went to the nail in the coffin of Mark Richt's tenure, the Fatone Bauta game. Just the most inexplicable thing. I feel like the Fatone Bauta game was Mark Richt's like middle finger to the UGA fan base. It was like
noted middle finger.
I don't know what the hell is gonna work. You guys want to bench the quarterback? Fuck it. I'll just throw this guy in there for one game. He like never played a snap before that game. Like never played a snap after that game. It was just. Let him ride this whole game through like 3 picks. Just, oh man, he was like the sacrificial lamb that day.
Remember when Georgia fans, I remember message boards were like, no, this dude's got some Tim Tebow in him. Like Tim Tebow comparisons in college football during that time on message boards was like, is this guy big? Can he not throw?
They did. The whole shtick on him was that he didn't wear a non-contact jersey in practice. He like wanted people to hit him and stuff. It was like he's like a quarterback and he played linebacker like at his high school. It's like, cool, man. I'd prefer to have a good quarterback.
Well, you know, what can you do? What can you do? His name was Fatone Bauta, so you get what you get. let's get into our main event, which is the big story coming out this week is college football playoff expansion is coming, Matt Green. What is the right number? We've talked about this in and out on this podcast, but as it stands right now, 16, 8, 6, what is the right number for you?
Definitely more than 6. Okay. 6, I would not be satisfied with 6.
You would
six.
Be satisfied think... with a, all 5, Power 5, and then one group of 5.
And no, that would be terrible. That would be the worst solution possible to do 5 conference championships in the group of 5. Like to automatically include a group of 5, I think you have to go to 12. I think even if you go to 8, like, because there's, I mean, think about it. Like, they would give a benefit of the doubt to a group of 5 team. Like, if UCF, if there's 18 playoff, like, UCF is 100% in that a few years ago. Like, Cincinnati is 100% in the 18 playoff if they do it last year. Like I think in the last polls, I think Georgia was at 8 and Cincinnati was at 9. But honestly, if it came down to it, like they would put the undefeated team in over like a 2-loss SEC, third, fourth best team in the SEC. You know, I feel like they would, I don't, as much as it's like an exclusive club right now, it's because it's at 4. I feel like people want to give the underdog a shot, but it's like the stakes are too high in Final Four to give them a shot. It's like I would honestly, I'm kind of like in the 12 team model, because then you keep that top four. Like, there's something special about, okay, you got that first round bye and you're like one of those top four teams. Because then if you go to 12, you 100% include a group of five, whoever the highest ranked group of five team is, or shoot, maybe you can even do a group of five championship, like the two highest ranked group of five teams. But I don't know. That's a crazy idea. But I think 12 teams would just, it would be like the greatest thing in all of sports, honestly. I don't know what you do about the whole bowl games. Like, maybe if you went to 16, I would like the college, how FCS does it, and the first round is hosted by the home team. Like, I think that's awesome that you get that playoff game, that whole atmosphere. But even if you don't want to do that, you want to give those bowl games, you want that to be the, you know, the Liberty Bowl, or you want it to be whatever. Maybe the Liberty Bowl is not big time enough to get one of these, but just one of these mid-tier bowls, like the Outback Bowl or something. Actually, they might be one of the sites for like a 12-team or 18 playoff, something like that, if they're desperate to keep the bowl games relevant, which they seem to be in college football. But yeah, at bare minimum, I feel like you got to go to 8, in my opinion.
Well, do you think that's what they're going to do, or is that just what you want to do based on what you've read and what you think they're going to do? Because is that enough of a flip to just do 8, to go from 4 to 8? Or if you're going to flip this and you're really going to add more, you might as well just do the full on, let's go 12 or 16, because like, we got to stop just moving the goalposts back a little bit more. Because it feels like if they just do 8, that means the conversation's immediately going to be, well, when are they going to 12 or 16?
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think fans will be happy with 8.
See, I think 8 is good, but maybe you're right. Maybe I like the idea of the even bracket, like the March Madness. Like, I was so mad when they got past the 64 teams.
I'm already sweating just the feeling of seeing an 8-9 team in the NFL this fall. I'm already sweating it. I'm sweating the 17 game schedule. It's already driving me berserk. Like, I can't handle it. Can't handle the odd number.
Wait, so how many teams are making the NFL playoffs?
No, I'm saying the season, 17 games.
Oh yeah, it's terrible. It makes no sense at all. Oh, the team with an 8-9 record. Yeah,
and you just see that, it's just gonna drive me nuts. 7-10, it's not right. But then I'm
no, it's not, and it's gonna mess up all of like the single season records and stuff. Like, how many more guys get to that 2,000 yard rushing or something? It's like, I don't know, it like skews everything. That's probably how people felt when Babe Ruth's record was broken too.
Well, also college football did that too, and it quietly went from 11 to 12.
That's true. They play a lot more games now.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's one of those things we'll get used to, that we complain about now, and then it'll just be second nature. But I'm also not here for it.
I think if they go to 8, they'll include a group of 5 because it feels like the inclusive thing to do. I don't necessarily think it's right, because I don't think there's a group of 5 team that's worthy of being 8 every year. But
you're going to have antitrust lawsuits if you don't.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be something like that. And so maybe to combat that, I don't know. If they went to 16, that'd just be too crazy. And I think 16, I think you start to lose something with the regular season. Because
well,
that is what.
If you go to 16 or 12, you get rid of the conference championship games.
If you go to 16, you probably do have to get rid of the conference championship game. But then the conference championship game, that's like, that's who we decide who wins the conference. You know, it's like we can't just have no conference champ. Maybe just lose one of your out of conference games or something like that. Like, just play one less game in the regular season. I don't know, but I could see that. Like, if they go to 16, I feel like you're gonna have, you know, every big time brand, it's just gonna be, you know, putting in a 3-loss, maybe even a 4-loss team, depending on how like good their schedule was. I feel like 16 would just kind of be out of hand. And with how, like, I think college football fans are kind of obsessed too much with the regular season schedule. Like, oh, it's going to destroy the regular season if you expand it. And it's like, well, and what other sport do you have to be perfect? Like, and even there's some years, like, shoot, Auburn going undefeated back in 2004, like, they did go perfect and they just don't get a chance to win the championship. It's just like, that's an awful system. If you go undefeated, there shouldn't be a possible system for you to go undefeated and not win the championship of whatever your sport is. You know what I mean? That's just, that seems like common sense.
Well, what do you think of the conversation of whether or not it's more fun to do the what if game versus now we know because everything happened on the field? Do you think it helps or hurts the discourse?
I think it just helps like legitimize college football. Like, you know, maybe that gets ratings up, people arguing about who the best teams are and things like that. But it's like, I feel like you would be encouraged. Like, I think a lot of these teams you're seeing, like, they're kind of, that's one thing I know Kirby Smart has talked about. They're kind of anticipating playoff expansion. So they want to beef up their resume. And that's how we should be approaching college football. Like, I remember years ago, like, it was a college game day. Like their preseason prediction show, and Lee Corso is like predicted Cal to win the national championship. I guess it's got to be like 04, 05 or something. He predicted Cal to win the national championship, and he just talked about their schedule and how like easy it was. And it's just like, you're basing your national champion on who's got the easiest schedule, not who the best team is. Like, that's just a shit system right there. Like, you should be, look at college basketball. These teams want to be battle tested by the time they get to the tournament. Gonzaga wants to go out and play North Carolina at a conference. They want to go play Duke, play these big time teams. And it's like, that's what we see in more of in college football, because, you know, they're letting in 2-3 lost teams into this playoff. And so the result of that is we get to see Ohio State, LSU, and we get to see Texas and USC play in the regular season. Like, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I go back and forth. My whole thing now is, like, you ever just feel like the tide is shifting, so you might as well get on and just stop screaming at the cloud? The old man yells at cloud situation where, like, it's coming. Change is coming.
I feel like you were a playoff hater.
And I still, like, deep down to my core, what I enjoy more is Nebraska-Colorado in November. At my core, I enjoy Georgia-Auburn. I enjoy Tennessee-Kentucky. I enjoy those things more than the actual finality of it all. And finding out who, at the end of the day, is the best. Because the blue chip ratio is undefeated. And this is something that I think about a lot, too. Where every season about 8 schools have a realistic opportunity of winning a national title. The rest, which is over 100, mind you, Matt Green, have no chance of running the gauntlet. And the more you expand this playoff, the less likely it is. So when you, I think that there's this idea that it will promote parity by increasing, but I actually think Alabama has proven, if anything, that it will actually decrease, because you have to have so many guys to get through that kind of gauntlet that Bama just got through of an all SEC schedule and then run through the playoff. That included Clemson, Notre Dame, and Ohio State, which is just like, most schools just can't do that. So even if you have a really good season, like Minnesota has this weird outlier season where they win the Big Ten. Guess what? If it's an increased playoff, you're going to have to get through Bama. You're going to have to get through Clemson. You might have to get through another Big Ten team you just beat. The odds are you won't do it. And
of course, but if you're one of those good teams, people got to get through you too.
I have a broader point here, which is that it will actually decrease parity, and you'll have even less, like, you'll have more games against, like, you'll have more Bama against interesting team here, but you'll still end up with the same kind of result. It'll kind of be like college basketball, right? Like, this season it ended with exactly who we thought it was. Like, the two best teams, Baylor and Gonzaga, were the two best teams all year in college basketball. We still enjoyed March Madness, we still enjoyed the tournament, we still enjoyed Jalen Suggs' incredible run. We still enjoyed UCLA running the gauntlet, but they didn't, because they didn't have the talent. Like, they just didn't. And I think you'll see that in college football, where the teams that have the most 4 and 5 stars over a 4-year stretch will be the only ones who have a chance. So,
see,
in the end,
that's where I disagree with you, because I feel like that's what we currently have.
No, I,
like,
think that won't go anywhere.
There's the same. I feel like currently there's I feel like the college football playoff is like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, these are the 4 best teams, so they're playing in the playoff. The best recruits want to go to the schools that play in the big-time games. It's like, oh, and these teams continue to go to the playoff. Now that you have maybe eight schools that are playing in the playoff, like, that right there, it's like, I feel like that's what you see in a lot of, especially in college basketball. It's like, a guy could be, you know, the 4th or 5th best player at Florida or something, but he can go be the guy at VCU or something like that, and that's a team that's definitely getting to the tournament, and I can get that exposure of being a team that's on that NCAA tournament stage. It's like, I feel like that's why college basketball, the parity is what it is, because so many different people can be on that big stage, and like all you need is an opportunity to show what you can do. And you can, and some of these teams, like the Oral Roberts of the world, like obviously there's more. College basketball is just a more even sport. You know, basketball in general is just a more even sport. The underdog wins a higher percentage of the time than they do in football. Like, it's just the three-point line and just the how small the rosters are. There's more parity in that sport. But I think if you're giving eight teams and 12 teams in the playoff every year, that means you have a solid 14, 15, 18, 20 teams that are competing for the college football playoff, that actually if a game bounces their way, they can get into that top 12. So I feel like it almost is working how the MLB wild card, expanding the wild card, like there's more teams in that hunt, so there's less teams that are sellers at the all-star break. You know, I feel like this is just gonna allow maybe the guys that don't play at Alabama, don't play at Ohio State, they'll transfer to, you know, a Virginia Tech, because that's someone who has a shot to get in the playoff or something one year. You know, I think there's a lot more. I think it has to improve parity for college football if you expand the playoff. I just think that I don't think there's any way that it wouldn't.
I think it will expand excitement. I don't think it will expand parity. I really don't. I think it will still be Ohio State, Oklahoma, LSU, Bama, and Clemson at the tail end. I do. One of those.
I mean, the cream,
but
the cream is definitely going to rise to the top, yes. You know, because it's like the best teams are the best teams. But I think a lot of, like, I've seen people, you know, arguing about it on Twitter and everything, and people have brought up North Dakota State. Well, it's like, well, they have a playoff, and one team just dominates. Is that what you want? I don't think you can compare just the resources North Dakota State has compared to the other FCS schools they're competing against. Just the amount of just the whole their level that they're on compared to everybody.
But
like,
did you see
obviously
the full money by Ohio State for their assistance?
No. What do you say? What are you saying?
Million.
Wow.
Just
that's
for assistance.
Just the assistance. That's insane. Yeah. So I feel like call it D1 has, like, even though Alabama has been so dominant, like, that's just because this Alabama era we're living through is like the most dominant dynasty we've ever seen. Like, college football is not going to be like this forever. You know, there's not going to be a Nick Saban, just a dominant dynasty like this forever. So you're going to see more and more parity in college football. And even with Alabama, how dominant they've been, like, there's still teams that challenge them year in and year out. Yes. Like, this year it was just a dominant team from the word go, basically. But they've had some of these college football playoff games they've had have been just epic games. Some of the SEC championship games have been super close games. So it's not like Alabama is just necessarily murdering everyone they play every year. They're murdering most of their competition. But in terms of the best teams are still competing with them. LSU has beaten them here and there. Auburn has beaten them here and there. You know, Georgia still hasn't, but Clemson has beaten them a couple times. North Dakota State doesn't really ever lose to anybody.
No. But, you know, this is why we have these conversations, just to talk it through, and we won't know until it happens. But
so what is your vote for, what do you want? What do you think's going to happen?
I think four stinks. I don't think four is the right number, and I think if we've learned anything from these last couple of years, it's that it's worse than the BCS, what we have right now. This is a worse system than the BCS. Now, if you're going to do 12, 16, even if it's eight and you give five power five locks, two wild cards and one group of five lock, that's okay. I don't know. You know what I'm also curious about is if
you might be saying what I was about to say, go ahead.
Is if you expand more and you add more playoff games, if agents get involved and you're a star, you're Trevor Lawrence and you have to play Bama and Ohio State, and maybe Oklahoma or LSU or somebody, during this gauntlet, this playoff gauntlet, are we going to see some superstar top 10 guys say, no, I'm not going through the playoff gauntlet.
No, man. When the game means something, dudes want to play. They only sit out these games. I mean, some guys might. I mean, like, you never know. But I feel like when the games matter, most of these guys want to play. But we all know these bowl games.
I think they're all nervous about playing. And when it's not our money, it's easy for us to just say, yeah, go do it.
Of course. But you're part of this is like a brotherhood. You're part of a team. Like, you guys have put in all the work. Like, the season is on the line. Like, you're still playing for something.
I think that is that is.
I mean, there's camaraderie among teammates, whatever you want to call it.
These are unpaid coworkers hanging out, doing a job.
Whatever you want to call it. Yes. They're exactly.
We like it as fans because it makes us feel better that they're all a family. And like, Josh Heupel's promoting that right now. And Heupel seems like a really like.
So you got a 404 the culture,
huh?
404 the culture.
Yeah, I mean, I like all that. Like, it's fun. Jeff Collins. It's good for branding. It's nice, and it's just pleasant. Like, you enjoy seeing that kind of content. Like, it makes you feel good. You're like, oh, and if you're a parent, you want to send your kid to a program that promotes a culture that's like a family and makes you feel welcomed and that it seems like.
But you saw Jalen Waddle.
Tucker is still going to walk out that door if Michigan State keeps backing up that Brink truck. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, there's still a point where it's just like, no, we're not a family, because I'll walk out on you for the right amount of money, or I will walk out on you for the right amount of opportunity somewhere else. Like, it's not really what it is at the end of the day.
Well, without a doubt. But I'm just saying, in general, like, if the games matter, the players are going to keep playing in them.
I don't know. I'm not saying I haven't.
I mean, can you think of an example of a guy sitting out when the games mattered, other than like a guy who just like sat out an entire season? Like I think, like, I get Joey Bosa and Nick Bosa confused, honestly, but one of them hurt themselves like first game of the season, right? And then they just like sat out the rest of their junior year.
Niners Bosa who did that.
That's Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
So it's like, that was a case of like, he was like going to be out for like 10 weeks and he's like, whatever, I'm just going to train for the draft. It's like, people talked about Jadeveon Clowney doing it, but he never actually did it. It's like, it's Christian McCaffrey. It's not until you're playing in the Citrus Bowl or just some holiday bowl, some random bowl that doesn't matter, and it's just one last game of your career. It's like, I'm going to go get paid.
I just like what I'm saying is, I think it's going to be a conversation that people are not expecting other superstars to have. I'm just saying, like, I would not be surprised if it happened, and I'm just curious to see what does happen. We wouldn't know until it's expanded, but I just would not be surprised if that becomes.
Like, you saw Jalen Waddle last year. Like, that man wasn't even healthy enough to be playing in the national championship, and he was like out there catching passes. Like,
it would bum you out, and it would bum a lot of people out, it would bum fans out, and it'd be a lot of pressure on those kids not to do that. But I don't know. I think if you are expanding it to like 12 and it's a three game gauntlet against some really, really stout defenses and things like that, and just opening yourself up to more Jalen Smith-esque opportunities, I don't know. Like, I would not be surprised if that's.
But that Jalen Smith injury, that game also meant nothing. So it feels worse. It's like, oh, this is cool.
But it's not about what it meant.
It's like Notre Dame, Ohio State, I think.
Like, it's just extra. Like, it's extra. And you also have to think about whether or not these kids want to win a national title. Like, I think the majority of college superstar athletes are not there to win national titles. I don't.
I think you'd be surprised, man. I think that's.
I talk to a lot of high school coaches, man. Like, I'm very familiar with a lot of these guys. And I think it's more about your brand. I think it's more about building your videotapes for YouTube, your Twitter clips. I think it's more about just getting drafted where you want to get drafted, building your brand, being locked down at your thing. Like, I'm going to be a lockdown corner. I'm going to be Jalen Ramsey-esque. I'm going to be Chase Young-esque. Do I care if Ohio State wins the national title? No, I'm here because Ohio State puts dudes in the pros. Like, people go to Alabama not because they win national
titles. No, that's fair.
They go to Alabama because you get drafted in the first round. They're not there because they love Tuscaloosa and they love the program. They love the area and they love the community. They are there to get a good job. That is why they are there.
No, and that's fair. And speaking of that, like, not as if Alabama or Nick Saban needed anything else, but now I feel like it blows my mind, like, as a Georgia fan, I feel like Georgia dudes are like leaving after their junior year. So many guys leave after their junior year that have no business going pro when they're going pro. You know what I mean? Like, off the top of my head, just like Trenton Thompson, like Isaac Nauta, Elijah Holyfield, like multiple guys that have been like 6th, 7th round picks, like leaving early. I don't know what Nick Saban does, but the way he convinces guys to come back for their senior year, and this year right here, Najee Harris and Devontae Smith come back for their senior year, like, this just earned Nick Saban, as if he needed any more credibility, like the most credibility ever, like when talking to any of these guys about whether they should come back or not. It's like, look, I convinced Devontae Smith and Najee Harris to come back. They both would have been 2nd round picks at worst coming out after a junior year. Dude, one dude wins the Heisman. The other dude's best running back in college football. They're both 1st round picks. Like, the proof is on the proof is in the pudding, as they say.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, dude, he was easily the best running back in college.
Sure, it's not even close.
Javonte Williams was super tight, but I would give me Najee Harris there.
Did you see the stat? How many runs longer than 35 yards he had his entire time at Alabama?
No, I did not.
6.
Okay.
Not a distance guy. Not a breakaway guy. If I had to put some bust potential on an Alabama running back, not that they ever bust in the NFL, but yeah, not a big Najee Harris long term guy.
You're not a big Najee Harris guy. Yeah. Do you like him more ETN more? Or just Javonte Williams
this year? I don't know.
I feel like ETN. I'm not impressed with ETN. I was kind of surprised he went 1st round.
Like, he was like just
he lost so much money.
I mean, he still ended up going 1st round, but...
Because I feel like that's usually... Oh, that's a valid point. He went 1st round, so what do we know? But I think that's like a common thing with running backs.
I don't know. That
for sure. I mean, he had another guy splitting the load, too. So,
well, I mean, they were both. Like, that was the best rushing offense in college football this past year. And it really wasn't close. They were just putting on a clinic. Sam Howell gets all the love at UNC, but if you watch the games and you watch what they were doing, especially in the Notre Dame game, and just how Notre Dame accounted for UNC and how that game went, it was the Javonte Williams show for sure. All right, Matt Green. Well, that is all I've got. Unless do you have a trivia question to sign off here this evening?
Oh man, I do not have a trivia question. Put me on the spot. I'll come back with one next week.
Okay. For that guy down there in Decatur, Georgia, Matt Green, for myself up here in Knoxville, Tennessee, that is all I've got, my friend. Thank you, as always, for making the time. New episode tomorrow because it's Friday. Sports Borders, Land of Sports, Falls, all that great stuff. But Matt, thank you, my friend, and we will be back next week.
Thank you, sir.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Every year, compliance regulations change thousands of times. And every year, ADP makes thousands of seamless platform updates so businesses can focus on everything else, like running their business. Grow stronger with ADP. HR, talent, time, and payroll.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.